Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is a show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it, except not today, because today is episode 350. Woo-hoo. And joining me is Juliana. She's sitting next to me. Say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to talk about something which I haven't actually told Juliana what I'm talking about. And this might probably come as not that much of a surprise to some people, but I want to talk about something that I noticed 2 years ago, like in 2015, I realized that I'd read 10 books in a row by men, and I was like, oh, that's like 10 books in a row by male authors. That's not very good, you know, representation of women authors on this podcast, you know, because there's some great women authors and stuff like that. So I thought, well, let me just go and check out what my record is through the years, because it's almost 10 years I've been doing this podcast now, and at the time almost 8 years or something. So I was like, let's go back and see what my ratio was over time of women authors to men authors. And I was pretty much blown away by how bad I was at the start. Okay, so it starts off, episode 1, introduction. Episode 2, Joan D. Vinge. And you're thinking, okay, woman author. Next one, Pamela Sargent. Okay, there was two books in a row by women authors. And then when you actually have a look at this list, it goes Heinlein, Alison Reynolds, Stuart Gordon, Peter F. Hamilton, Robert Reed, and you just keep going down and keep going down and keep going down. Who is A.A. Atanasio? No, China Mieville is actually, I should probably, if I'd have done a, oh, I missed it there. But anyway, unless there's someone who's got initials AA, and this is often something I do, I don't realise if the person is going to be male or female. I think it was P.D. James I did the, nope, is a guy, you see, so that doesn't count. So you keep scrolling down and keep scrolling down this list. If you go to episode lists at sfbrp.com, and you get all the way down to episode 68, Ursula K. Le Guin, which was October the next year. So I managed to go over a year without reading any science fiction that I reviewed. I did read some fantasy novels in that time, which were by women authors. But that is pretty impressive, like over a year not reviewing a single author, female author. And
that's
like
quite impressive.
66 episodes or 66 books in a row without getting through that
but
one.
But sometimes women use male names, right?
Not in these cases.
To be like, okay, how can we make it that people read...
Okay, well, let's not get into James Tiptree Jr. because, again, that is something that we maybe talk about. So then I was like, okay, now my ratio of men did get better than 2 to 68 or whatever it was in the first year or two. But it was one of those strange things which I noticed that I had noticed that I'd not read any women authors for 10 books in a row. And I noticed that in 2015. But in 2008 and 2009, it's not that I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice that I hadn't noticed it.
Of course.
That make sense? Like,
sure,
I had.
You were just reading.
I was just reading books. I didn't think about my reading of science fiction as sort of like, oh, I need to read diverse authors or anything like that. I was just like, oh, I've got some favorite authors, and some of them happen to be women, but I just didn't get to those books. Like I said before, like the last book that I read before I started the podcast was Down Below Station by C.J. Cherry or whatever you pronounce the name, and then those books. So it was like three women authors in a row. So it's not as if I was like, oh, I don't read women authors or anything. But it wasn't even that I even thought about it. Like,
sure,
some of these authors are my favourite authors. Some of them are not authors, and I'm just sort of like, oh, I just go to the bookshop, and what books were on the shelves, I just pick them up and read. You know, and there was some series of books that I'd read just recently. Is Julian May, again, now I'm not even sure, is Julian May, is that a female or not? Because there's some authors that I'm thinking, is that male or female? But then it sticks in my head and I can't remember. Yeah, so Julian May, I've just read like loads of Julian May and all these other authors who I really enjoyed, like long series of women authors and things and fantasy books or whatever. But it was one of those times where, like, I guess it was just, I just fell into it, but I kind of felt, it was only like last year when I probably looked back and was like, well, how bad was it? And I was like, oh, like way worse.
Pretty bad.
Way worse than I thought. So I don't think there's, unless I do the podcast for literally another 10 years after this, I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it so like I have an equal representation of women authors to male authors, because there's this massive backlog of just male author after male author after male author with just like uninterrupted for 65 episodes in a row, except by authors I'm like, oh, is just some initials? Is that a male author or a female author? Oh, it turns out it's a male author, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, so what I decided to do in 2 years ago, at the end of October, 2 years ago, was after noticing that I'd not read female authors for 10 books in a row, I thought, well, from now on, for the next however long I do this, let's just make it so I just do it equal. So I always read as many female authors as male authors.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Exactly. And this was the experiment, was sort of like, I could have done like, oh, I'm going to only read women authors. I think if I was just like, I'll only read women authors, I think that would have been really noticeable. You know, because, not just because I was only reading women authors, but there's like my favourite author, some of my favourite authors are guys, and it would be a bit weird sort of like if books came out by them, like a new Alistair Reynolds book comes out or a new Peter F. Hamilton book comes out and I just never get to it. And then just only reading these other authors who all just happen to be female. Now, I set this up 2 years ago and have been doing this for 2 years. I haven't had a single person comment on it. Not even a single, like, you yourself have been reading this, you know, reading a lot of these books along with me. And you haven't commented it and just didn't notice it anymore. And now this is the first time that you've ever noticed it. And that's why I didn't want to talk to you. That's why I didn't want to introduce what I wanted to talk about in this episode.
Okay.
Just to see, like, did you notice? I mean, you don't read all the same books as me, but we've been reading quite a few books together. Did you realize that, like, most of the books that we've both read together and talked about have been female authors?
Really?
A lot of them have been.
I know I'm putting you on the spot a bit here. I don't pay attention particularly, is the author male or female?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I was in. I didn't pay attention to what they were, if they're male or female. And it turns out I read 65 books by male authors in a row with no interruption by any female voices in there at all for a year and a half at the start of this podcast. So anyway, that's my point, is that I was also thinking, oh, I don't notice if they're male or female or not. And it turns out, if I don't notice if they're male or female or not, 2008 to 2009, Luke, just read male authors.
I think that it might be a little bit of a difference because even unconsciously, I'm choosing books that are not only by males.
Yeah.
I think, like, if I go and look for books and then I read something that sounds interesting to me, then I would, in my book thing, I have, like, loads of, like, books there.
What's that? What do you mean? In Goodreads or what?
Yeah,
you're talking about?
In my Kindle app and in iBooks app and stuff. So I have that quite a lot of books by women authors.
Yeah.
And I guess I just...
Yeah, it's not something you think about.
Should it be something that you pay attention?
Well, this is the thing. I found myself noticing it, I think, because even 2 years ago, there was a lot kind of like, just in science fiction, there was more of the, the Hugo Awards with the, the sad puppies. And there's all this political stuff about, you know, sort of alt-right kind of, before the alt-right was there, they were invading science fiction, all these different awards. The Hugo Awards were taken over by people who didn't want diversity. Literally, they were saying, we don't want diversity in science fiction.
Well,
it should all be
crap.
And they're saying that the awards were kind of reflecting that until last year, there were no straight white male authors nominated for either the Hugo or the Nebula. I can't remember which one it was, but it was all like, you know, there was a Chinese author who's translated, like three women, one transgender person, and I can't remember exactly what the lineup was, but this was at the wave and I was like, am I part of the problem here of being someone who thinks that the solution to underrepresentation of women or transgendered or gay people or black people or all these other minorities, is it me just going, oh, I don't want to think about those kind of things, I just read the books that I like? Am I part of the problem? And I kind of came to the conclusion that if I don't even notice that, yeah, I probably am part of the problem. But instead of me like just saying that at the time and just going, oh, well, you know, or I'm not part of the problem or I am part of the problem, it was kind of like, can I do an experiment on myself and my own podcast and my own listeners to my own podcast and even you, my girlfriend who reads a lot of books with me, could I do a kind of subversive, well, not much submersive, but just kind of like a secret thing, like I will be the change that I would prefer to see in the world, but not be preachy about it and just keep it secret for 2 years and just see if anyone notices. Maybe people have noticed, but that's kind of what I want to talk about, is my experience of reading 50% women authors for the last two years, and even if that's enough.
I was thinking that in general, I think the book world kind of changed a bit, especially like, you know, with N.K.
Jemisin.
Han Yoon Ha Lee.
There is more like, diverse more, voices in it.
Yes, and like Anne Leckie. Yeah, and, like
that, and that's the thing. Like that is, of course, I'm a trailing indicator of this change. If you know what I mean. Like this all change was already in progress and things, but I still don't think it's good enough or far enough along. And I do think, in a way, that the Hugo Awards, that there weren't any straight white male authors nominated for the major awards. It's sort of like it's only just like redressing the balance of massive overrepresentation by lots of straight white authors and Connie Willis. You know, that's kind of what it was. You know, so it's sort of like, oh no, we have women. It's like, no, you have two, or you know, or Lewis McMaster Bajold or something. Like you've got two or three women authors who are overrepresentative of Hugo and Nebula Award winners and things like that.
These are always like your. These are the how do you say the your get out of jail.
Yes, it's sort of like, oh no, no, we're not sexist. We have two women authors who win all the awards.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's the kind of thing. It's sort of like, oh, am I just going, oh, I've got a few female, anyway, so it turns out, just to go over this kind of thing, I was like, well, how will I do it so I'm not annoyed that I'm not reading the books that I want to? Like, will I be annoyed at going, oh, I've got to read another book by a woman to keep up my, you know, just a, like a running quota? And it turns out, no, because I always have a list of books, which is long, like, the list of books that I want to read is always longer than the time I've got to read the books or something like that. Yeah. There's always books that I want to get to, which I'm just like, look, I just might never get to that book. Because there's so many books that I want to read, even though at any one time, and I was just saying this before about my Goodreads list of on my to-read list, I was just like, oh, there's actually lots of books in here that I'm not that interested in. I want my to-read list to be any book, so if you give me any of these books and just give it to me, and I'll just be like, yeah, good, I'm glad I'm now going to be reading this. But of course, that isn't how life works, and sometimes you want to read a book, you're just like, okay, I'm a bit over long fantasy books, just give me something light and fluffy and some space adventure now. Or, okay, I'm a bit burnt out on, you know, epic space opera, just give me a fun adventure story or a horror story or, you know, some of the kind of thing. So it, but at any time that I was thinking that, and I would just look at my to read list or to look into the list of books on the Goodreads topic, you know, on the SFBRP listener group there, just to say, or I just ask like, okay, let's have a look. Like, of all the books that are recommended to me, make a list of the top five or six books that you want to read. And if one of those is by a woman, we'll just get to that one first.
Okay.
And it was really interesting just to see how easy it was. Just to, oh, just get to the woman author first. And that was all it took. It was just sort of like, you've got a list of 10 books that you want to read in the next 6 months or so. Which authors are women? Get to that book first. And then as more books come onto your immediately, I want to read it soon, the male authors, well, they'll just drop off. Because you maybe didn't care about that book enough anyway, if you know what I mean.
Let me get my iPad. I want to check this in my...
You're going to check what? Like, your own reading list or something? Okay. So, I was just kind of surprised at how totally non-stressful it was and totally not an issue it was.
Is how it should be. It's
exactly. Shouldn't. And that was kind of one of the big lessons. It turns out that equal representation...
If you want it.
Of course... Again, just to clarify, this podcast is a record of my reading. So there's never going to be women's voices, as in reviewers, represented on this podcast as much as my own, because this is me and I am male and straight and white. I do have a girlfriend. She's sitting right next to me now. And it is good to have a little bit of diversity there as well. Oh, this is sorted backwards by date read. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So... actually mostly guys there. So anyway, you have a quick look through that. That's one thing. Like, I can't be diverse in my own right. Like, I am not a diverse voice. I am straight, white, male, European, kind of middle class, whatever. And there's only so much extra representation I can bring onto a podcast, which this is not an interview podcast. I can't interview women authors, and I don't talk, it's not like Reading Envy where I can get on other readers to talk through books with me a lot. It's just me and, you know, quarter of the time Juliana coming along with me in this journey. So what are you thinking?
Well, there's certainly like big stretches
talk into the microphone.
There's big stretches where there's just male authors, but then like I have a lot bunched up, which is
It just happens that you read all the Ancillary Mercy, Ancillary Justice.
Becky Chambers, and then I read here The Fifth Season and All the Birds in the Sky.
To Kill a Mockingbird, not really a science fiction book, but also a woman author.
And who was it else? There was Ursula K. Le Guin, and then I read some I'm coming out from crime novels.
Yes.
I read a lot of crime novels.
And that's like 70% women.
Yes. So there's
in German crime novels.
Like Kay Scarpetta, and like I read a few history, like
historical romance, historical fiction. Yeah. And that's women as well.
That's also a lot in that section. The over representation of women is in comparison, like kind of like the opposite.
Yeah. I did read a blog post by John Scalzi, who he had one of his books nominated for a romance award or something. He went along there, and it was, he said it was weird because he was on the opposite end. Instead of it being sort of like three women nine authors. Yeah, on all the panels, he was always the token guy on all of the panels, you know, these discussion panels and things like that. All right, I think you've looked back through your list of books quite a bit there. So, yeah, that was a point. Like, the only way that I can introduce real diversity of views and opinions onto my own podcast, which is a white guy talking about books, the only way I can do that is by my reading choice. And in this way, I did make more of an effort to read women and also black women and other different minority representation as well. And I know it's probably not good enough because the white straight male authors are still 50%, and they aren't 50% of the world, and they probably aren't 50% of fiction. And if they're not, white male are probably more than 50%. But the only way that I can start changing that is by the books that I pay for, the books that I read, and the books that I talk about. So all the time that I'm saying, actually, I think this is one of the great novels that I've read recently, and I may not have got to it if I hadn't have got said, let's just get to the women authors first. You know, I just, you know, just get to them first.
Yeah.
And yeah, it feels like, again, just in a very small way of me redressing my own past imbalance. I'm not trying to redress the imbalance in the world. It's kind of more just to kind of say, I, being a white straight male with even the tiniest amount of influence on my readers and listeners, not my readers, my listeners' reading habits, you know, just the smallest amount of influence, my small amount of influence is outweighing a lot of other people's, you know, personal journeys.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of like a slight little fingers on the scales back in the other direction. And unfortunately, I think that's all I can do, unless I'm just like, oh, I'm only going to read women authors for the next 2 years. But I don't think I would do that, because that would make me unhappy, because there would be some male authors' books which I'd be like, oh, I really want to get to this.
Yeah, it would also be a bit unfair that you just cut away all the things that come out that you're interested in.
Yeah,
I don't think that's good. But I think I like the approach of just adding a bit more variety and diversity.
Well, that extreme undiversity was only at the start of the podcast.
Yeah, of course.
I did read more women, but again, it was just that real crazy thing. Oh, I've not read any women authors for 10 books in a row. And then, like, how did I used to be? And I was just like, oh my God, they're so bad.
Yeah, that's quite crazy. So, in general, do you think, like, when you see what books come out, get published, or get, you know, like, advertised or hyped or whatever, do you think this is like something they're more generally more male books or
again
published?
I don't know.
How did you then make the choice
of which books?
Yeah,
well, just what people had recommended. One of the main reasons I do this podcast, well, two reasons I had starting off is I wanted a record of my own reading, because this was, I think, before Goodreads existed or whatever, and I kept on getting books out of the bookshop, getting home, reading the first chapter and be like, I've not only read this before, this is the second time I've picked it off the shelf, started reading it and thought, I've read this Alistair Reynolds book before, and then, you know, didn't finish it off and put it back on the shelf. And then I did that with Absolution Gap. I did that twice. I actually read it, then got it off the shelf and started it, and then got into the second chapter. I'm like, oh no, I've read this before. And then like a year later, got it off the shelf again, started reading it. I was like, oh no, I have read this before. I've not only read it before, yeah. I've thought I've not read it before and started reading it before.
So
before.
You're getting the book off the shelf because you read the back and you think, oh, this sounds interesting.
And it's an author that I like, but all of Alistair Reynolds' books used to have a spaceship on the front with a planet of the spaceship. And it's all like, I couldn't keep them much apart. And I was like, I need a record of what I'm doing. And I thought, and if I get listeners to this podcast...
Help you.
And there's no reason why people would start listening to it except that it was a podcast before there was, you know, now there's loads and loads of podcasts. Everyone's talking about books. But when I started this, there wasn't like a podcast scene. There was like four other podcasts which were talked about science fiction. And they would talk about it like books, but they would talk about it more generally. And it would be fan stuff and author interviews. And I was like, no, I just want each episode one book. Let's go. So the other thing is like, if people did start listening, they would recommend books to me, and that would be a good way for people to recommend books. And that has been fantastic. You know, both of these things have worked. I do have a great record now of 10 years worth of reading science fiction, reviews of every book, coming up, 350 episodes. The anniversary will be January next year for 10 years. I mean, it's a big project. And loads of people have recommended loads of books to me, and I really do enjoy it, because even if I don't like the book, like, even if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have read that book if it was recommended to me, and I did read it, and I kind of wish I hadn't read it. In a way, I'm still glad that I have read it, because people have recommended it to me.
You know?
So I've taken on board other people's lives in a way, what they think is valuable.
So it's some sort of social interaction.
Yeah, some social interaction around around this, and that was a thing as well. There was only like when I moved to Berlin. I didn't really know anyone that I could nerd out and talk about science fiction books to very much. You know, there was like two people at the bookshop around the corner from where I used to live, you know, I talk about it. And then I was like, you know what? I could just record these things. And I would talk a bit about to Paula, my previous German girlfriend, for people listening now, just catching up. And I'd talk about it and I'd say, oh, this book. And she was just like, what are you talking to me about that? Not that she didn't want to hear about it, but like when I got into a long rant about sort of like a science fiction book or some minor point of this thing or something, she was like, why are you telling me that? And I was like, I should probably maybe find a different venue to talk about this. So it was just a strange project. But like I say, any small amount of influence that I have, again, the only way that I can get past my own boring, straight, white male, you know, ness of myself is to, in my own reading, make a conscious decision to give a little bit more representation. And, you know, for women, I think women they should have at least, you know, about 50%, let's just say, you know?
Well,
what's that look at me? Yeah.
I was just thinking, do you think you've realised a certain... content, like a shift in content or like a shift in topics, or
let's get on to that, but let's first, because I wanted to talk about that as well, but let's just bring this up as well. So I just made a note back from 2 years ago, Claire North, The First 15 Lives of Harry August. You read that one, didn't you, as well?
No, I didn't read
it. Oh, you didn't read it? Oh, you should read it, because it's okay. Good. And
it's in my library, yeah.
Yes, the audiobook's really good.
And this is when you started.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So that time I was like, okay, let's get to some female authors. And then I was like, Claire North, Anne Leckie, and then, you know, Stephen Erickson, then Octavia Butler, Elizabeth Moon. And you're like, okay, so there's five authors in a row, four of them women. So that's pretty good. So anyway, I just made a thing here. You see, like, once I got to a streak of, like, three men, male authors in a row, I'd be like, oh, let's get to some of the women authors as well. And sometimes I would go, I think, like, here, there happens to be three female authors in a row or whatever. So it happened.
Shouldn't that be normal?
Yes, it should. That's the thing. It should be normal. Like, if I'm flipping a coin to how many authors,
like
I'm so
one.
Yeah, it's like a paradiddle or something like that. But again, looking down here, now, this is slightly out of track. So counting the last book that I've read, which is actually I've not reviewed it yet because we're doing this episode slightly out of time, one episode early. We did Annalie Nevitt's Autonomous, and then the next one I'm going to read is a woman author, and so then that gets to exactly as far as cisgendered people are. It's 25 and 25, so that's 50 books as well. But then we got some, if I was actually to count how people would look at themselves, their own gender identification, put in the trans authors, and you just said it's Trans Awareness Month or something like that.
Yes.
You just mentioned that before we do it. So actually, there is a trans male author, Yoon-Ha Lee, actually throws off the count a bit, because he is a trans male author, and he would actually swing over the male authors, so the male authors actually have you know, more yeah. books in the air.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? It was what was the book? All the Birds in the Sky. Where is
yes.
it? It's somewhere. Oh, yeah. Anyway, trans. Oh yeah, here it is. Charlie Jane Anders, who we just talked about earlier on the podcast, is female trans. So, you know, born biological, like on the, again, I don't want to say it all wrong, all the wrong terminology, but her birth certificate was male and now she is female, and you and Harleen is the opposite way round as
yes.
well. So having it exactly 50-50, it turns out not exactly 50-50 depending on how you're counting. And of course, I'm going to count how they would count themselves. They say they're male and they say they're female. He says he's male and she says it's so tricky to get all this right in trans awareness month.
Speak Turkish, they don't have he.
Yeah, exactly. There's easy ways to do this, and that's what I want to get to in a minute. But again, it's almost 50-50, but again, there's ways that I could fudge the writing both ways. For example, I reread these books, you know, by R. Scott Baker, and I'm like, okay, those are rereads rather than first-time reads, so should they count it? And I'd already reviewed those, so I was actually just rereading these three books in a row to get to the next book that came out in a series. That's one way of looking at it. And, yeah, so rereading books is a different thing than reading books. So, yeah, let's get on to... Yeah, we've talked a bit about the gender pronouns. I've talked about this quite a few times
yes.
on the podcast. And this is something that I've definitely noticed as I've been reading more non-straight, white, male science fiction.
It's a lot more fluid.
Well, yeah, it's just a lot more open for a lot of that kind of stuff. Because yeah. this is, you know, when you read about the lived experiences of minorities, that you just... know more about that and you're more sensitive to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you're only reading straight white male guys, it's straight white guy, male authors, whatever.
I think a very good example for that is Peter F. Hamilton.
Yes.
He's so,
yes, exactly.
so closed in his views on the characters.
It's, yeah.
Every time I read a book of his,
yeah.
I notice the same thing.
Yeah, again. It's sort of like so stereotypical and
yeah.
sometimes... And even that kind of thing goes back to Heinlein. Heinlein is all like, yay, free love, everyone loves each other and sex and it's all open. No, nothing gay. Only male and female and stuff like that. And there's a massive orgy, but, you know, no man touched another penis in the entire time.
No. Why would you?
Exactly. So... that is one of those things. I've talked about this so much in the podcast about these things, you know, about robot genders and about non-binary gender and trans characters and trans authors talking about, you know, like all that kind of stuff. It is just so much more interesting reading about those kind of things from the point of view of female characters. I do want to give... you know, we could go through different things, sort of like, yeah, we talked about ancillary justice, ancillary mercy. There's like the pronouns thing. So everyone
yes.
is called she. There's a great book which I read, really enjoyed it. Oh, no, I've lost the lid, the thing here. So The Stars Are Legion by Cameron Hurley. Every character, it's not just only using female pronouns, every character is female. It's on a spaceship, and the spaceship is kind of like the male, and then they kind of get impregnated and give birth to like spaceship parts to rebuild the space. Anyway, it's absolutely, absolutely crazy, completely fucked up, and great to read that kind of stuff. Again,
yeah.
not, I'm not saying all of these novels are amazing, but all of them have got this interesting stuff going on.
Yes.
Arda Palmer with the Seven Surrenders, and what was the previous one? I can't find it now. Two Like the Lightning and Seven Surrenders. Again, it's very much sort of like, okay, what the gender that the characters have isn't always their biological gender is different from their, you know, lived gender, whatever,
yeah.
you know what I want to say. Again, I might not be getting all the words right, but, you know, I'm trying.
Isn't it that with, who is it? It's not Alistair Reynolds. Is it Alistair Reynolds where they just... The characters have the ability to just choose the gender.
Yes, yeah, that's so great.
That
yeah.
is so.
No, it's in the
great.
Culture series. The
yes,
culture series.
The culture series is so great. You can just say,
yes.
I now have a period where I'm
going to be a woman, and then what they do is they have there's a couple, and then they impregnate each other. The man impregnates the woman, and then the woman holds the pregnancy dormant. They both change sex. Previous she is now a he in impregnates the man who is now a woman.
Yeah.
And then she then changes back to woman, and then they both go, right, now we're both women, go with the pregnancies, and both
yes.
their pregnancies start up again, and then they have babies at the same time, and
it's
they're both having
brilliant.
They're both the father and they're both the mother. They both are a father and a mother
yeah.
of each other's children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like all male authors drop the ball on this kind of stuff. There are male authors like The Culture with Peter... No, not Peter. With Ian M. Banks, with his series.
That's right. Ian M. Banks, yeah.
So he does have that. Also, a shout out to Alistair Reynolds in his novels. I can't remember which is the more recent one. The one with the elephants. Poseidon's Wake. Yeah, Poseidon's Children. There are characters in there which is just a character. And it's a non-gender specific character. And he uses the pronoun like V and V, like viz, you know, putting a V instead of a he, not instead of a H for male and sh for women. It's a V. And it just becomes a gender neutral pronoun. And to be honest, I know it sounds weird, I really prefer that to the using they, because it always comes down to they. You are introducing necessary ambiguity into the gender that you're talking about, but accidentally introducing numerical ambiguity as well. Does that make sense?
Yes. I saw there's one thing on Twitter going around where they showed screenshots of Google Translate where they had a Turkish sentence and they put it through Google Translate.
And back again.
Yeah. And it was like, the doctor went to his locker. And then you put that in, is the Turkish sentence, and then you put it in and then it came out. The doctor went to her locker.
Yeah.
And then you had like this variety of that, what that one sentence could mean.
So, yeah.
I think that should be...
Exactly. That's what these different authors are going for when, like, say, in Ancillary Justice, all of the characters are just referred to as her and she. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, let's do that. But what I don't like about... And I like that approach. And I also like just the author themselves. Themselves. You see, that works. Themselves works. But the author, they will do this. Author, they. Yeah, okay. So it's that introduction of numerical ambiguity.
Yeah.
When you want it to be ambiguous or non-gender specific, but accidentally make it non-numerical, like plural or non-plural specific. It's just confusing. It's like an extra step. It's like, yes, go for non-gender binary pronouns. No, don't go for accidentally making it plural or non-plural. And this is not a political stance. It's purely just a, like, oh, they did this. And I was like, okay, in the previous sentence you were talking about two people, and then you talk about one person, and then you say they. Are you talking about the one person who is non-gender binary, or you just you want a gender neutral, or now are you still talking about the two of them did that, or just the one who is... And that's the kind of confusion which makes... And so while I disagree with people who say, oh, why don't you just say he or she? And I'm like, yeah, he or she works. I like he or she. I also like they. But I just want a pronoun which is numerically specific but gender non-specific.
Yes.
And we don't have that. But I don't want to make that into a political stance. It's purely a reading and literary stance. Do you understand? If transgender people want to be called they, I'm like, yes, I'm going to call you they because you want to be called they.
Yes.
I'm not going to call you it or something, or I'm not going to call you he or she or the, or all these other kind of things that could be there. I don't want to do that. So from a political point of view, I'm like, yes, let's use they. But from like a specific writing kind of thing, I'm like, oh, can we just come up with a new word that we can all agree on? But no, that's not how it works. It isn't. Some science fiction authors aren't going to change the world on this one.
Can I tell you how it works in German?
Yeah, go for it.
So in the German language and in German politics in general, we do have a lot of gender-focused things, you know, there's gender studies and all this kind of stuff is coming up a lot in recent years. And so what happens is that in German, you do have in lots of words the female and a male version. So if you want to address, not der, die, das, but he and she. So if you want to address
a teacher and teacherin.
Yeah, Lehrer und Lehrerinnen.
Yeah.
So you're a Lehrerin, and when you have more, you're Lehrerinnen, and Lehrer is always like one thing. So, but that kind of what comes up also in recent times is that people get so sick of this. And you know, they have like, you replace the innen with stars, or you call everybody innen because then you include the...
Yeah.
the male version into the female version, and it's just so complicated. They make it so complicated that people say, "Oh, what's all this gender shit? Yeah. We should just
exactly
stop that."
That's what I'm saying. Like, and the more complicated it is for people to use, the more annoyed people are going to be used.
The more annoyed they got, and the less open for the idea what that's actually behind it.
Yeah, right. Now I see what you're saying. It's not the dirty das. It's not like it's not we, because that's what I'm saying. You have gendered articles, but also the neutral article. But it's not, that's not what you're talking
that's
about.
Not
it's
what
more
I'm talking about.
So yeah, in English this happened.
So it's like actor and actress.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly the example I was going to bring up. The reason why they can get away with it, the actors can say, "Oh no, we're not actors and actresses anymore. We're just all actors." The reason they can get away with it is that they have the bully pulpit. They have the place where they can say, "No, now the Oscars, it's going to be an award for the great achievement by a woman in a lead role or a male in a lead role." It, you know, they just change the language, and because they're the Oscars and they're the association of movie whatever it is, the Academy of Movie blah blah blah, whatever the Academy is, I can't remember, but whatever they are, they have a massive voice and they can just say, "Oh no, from now on we're just going to be act." But waitresses don't have that. Waiters and waitresses, they don't have a like literally a $1 billion industry where they're telling people how to say to talk about their own thing. They don't have a massive industry which does press tours of like the greatest waiters and the greatest waitresses. So I find this tricky in my own way when I say, shall I just say servers or wait staff? I go to wait staff for waitresses and waiters because I think wait staff is just, it's kind of like fluid enough or like easy enough to say, and it doesn't feel like I'm putting in an effort to say waiters and waitresses or male and female waiters. You know, it's not like they, male and female actors. No, it's just actors now. Yeah. Actors and actresses have got past it. So now it's just actors. Yeah. I'm an actor, you're an actor.
And so it should be with authors.
Yes, authors are the same thing. You don't get authors and authoresses. It's just authors. But that's not a word. But I'm just saying waitresses don't have the power of Hollywood behind them to say, now we are not waitresses. We are all just waiters.
Yeah. In the German language, that gets kind of more difficult because there are so many words that you would just use to address a group of people. And it's in French and in Italian, it's the same. When you have a group of people, there's one male person in it, suddenly the whole group is addressed as male.
Yes.
You know, and so we had these issues at university. So now university has a new set of rules how you talk to the students.
You just need a style guide, a writing style guide. Yeah. That's all it takes.
And also it takes up to just come up with new words that fit.
Yes. You know, but like, again, that's not up to me.
A long time we were talking about students as Studenten. And Studenten, it comes from at first people to go to university were all males.
Yes.
So there is no Studentinnen.
Yeah.
That also.
So it kind of accidentally worked out.
So now we're calling them Studierende, which is like,
okay. That's weird.
Yeah,
it's like people students
studying. Yes. Like that's now Studierenden,
not students, but studiers, isn't it? Yes. Yeah.
And this is now a way to get around to address all of them as a everyone studying.
Yes.
So, and I think this should happen way more in language that you just don't say, okay, now we're only going to use one word like actor.
Yeah.
But come up with a new, like people like, I don't know, acting or whatever. I don't know.
Actoring.
Actoring.
Yes. Yeah, I understand.
You know, like,
but again, actors, they've cleared that. Like, they've cleared the bar already. You don't really hear about actresses anymore. It's just all actors.
I'm pretty sure there is a word out there that people use as a pronoun for, in English language.
Yeah.
For everyone.
But then there are issues with that. Like, for example, there's the Latino, you know, about Latinos and then Latinas. And then like, oh, so what we should do is that the Latinos and Latinas is male and female, but what if somebody doesn't want to it? So let's be Latinx with just an X on the end. I'm not sure how to...
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but I've seen it written. But then I've also read other people say, oh no, that's bad because that's not Latinos and Latinas saying that. That's what they want to be called. Mm-hmm. That's you, North American gender study... ethnic study people putting that on them, and Latinos and Latinas call themselves Latinos because again it's that if there's any one male in the group then it becomes all
group.
Whatever like that. So again, I don't feel comfortable coming like saying what this should be. It's just from my own experience reading it, I find the science fiction explorations of this really interesting because when we're talking about, okay, what gender is a robot or what do robots call themselves? Yeah. And this can be like a way in to take someone who is like not born the wrong gender and then needs to transition to the correct gender of the gender they identify with. What happens if someone is born literally with no gender? Well, that can't really happen in a way which is easy to write about in a story, but a robot is born without gender because they're not born, they're created genderless, and that's it. So the robot deciding what gender they're going to be calling themselves or what other people are going to refer to them as is a way that you can explore gendered characters free of the baggage of biology and society and all that kind of stuff. So science fiction is a great way to explore this. Unfortunately, some of the books that I read try and, like we talked about in the podcast two podcasts ago, which we just did this morning, but out of time. Again, it's one of those things, it's such a big issue, and I really like it when a really skilled actor explores these kind of a really skilled author or authoress or authorex or whatever it is. I like it when when that pays off, it can be really interesting, and it changes my mind on how I consider these things. It changes my own language. It changes the way I think about gender by reading science fiction. That is a journey that I've gone through over the past 2 years and a bit. Let's say 2 years and a bit. Yeah. But it kind of came to the foreground when I was first of all, actually, it was some of these earlier books with. Oh no, let's go over here to the book list here. Before we got to some of those episodes, what was it? Anyway, there was like the 10 books in a row of male authors and stuff like that. But before that, I'd read some other books which it kind of, Ian M. Banks and stuff like that, some of his stuff. It wasn't only female authors who started me thinking along that way. It was just authors in general and some of the approaches that science fiction authors. But then I do think Ancillary Justice was the one that kind of kicked it off, this modern way. It's sort of like, oh, isn't it so interesting that everyone is referred to as a she? And I'm like, didn't I read The Left Hand of Darkness? No, what was the other one? No, The Dispossessed, Ursula K. Le Guin. And there's a whole race of people who have non-gender specific, and all the time they're calling this character he, and then part of the way it's constantly pushed into your face, like, oh, we're calling them a he, but actually it's not a he, and all the time it's sort of like, oh no, he was never a he, I've just been calling him a he because that's the way that I use language, but it wasn't a he. Anyway, he did this, and you're like, no, go back a bit, like, tell this same story with non-gender, but that was back before, well, not before, but like, so it's always been there, but like, I do think the over the last 3-4 years has come much more about with Anne Leckie, with the Ancillary Justice series, kind of put some of these ideas into the foreground, to the point where, and this comes back to the comments, there's two things that I've noticed about this. First, I don't think the Ada Palmer Too Light the Lightning series and these other books, you know, which are totally more gender fluid and just he's and she's and gender pronouns are just not significant, and it's literally the discussion in the book is like, oh, actually we're going to call this a he, and then you're like, it looks like a female, and it's like later on it's like, oh yeah, it was a female but he, and then just saying, oh, actually now this character is being more female, so now let's call them she, so from now on we're just going to refer to the character, and it's totally fluid in that way. I think that fluidity is kind of big. In, like, it, like the Ancillary Justice has kind of opened the door for lots more characters to just do that, and it be an interesting part of the book, but not even the main part of the book. You know, when Ancillary Justice first came out, half of the things that I heard about it were about, oh, every character is referred to as a she. I think if that book came out now, that would be a minor writing stylistic choice, and more people would be interested in, oh yeah, and what's it like to be a robot spaceship with lots of ancillaries all the way around.
Yes.
That was the other half. Everyone was talking about the ancillaries, and also 50% was talking about the pronouns. Now I think if that book came out, hardly anybody would be talking about the pronouns, and they'd all be talking about the ancillaries and the, you know, the technical science fiction-y parts of it.
And being a multiple person, or like a person with
the multiple viewpoints. Yes. And like I say, and I think that's what's happened with Ada Palmer. There's lots of issues in that book and lots of things going on, but having a trans character or a non-gender specific character and all that kind of stuff is just now part of modern science fiction, to the point where, like, this book that we just reviewed just before, which is called, let's just bring it up again, Autonomous, which was a book that we just reviewed and read. It's sort of like the gender stuff was, yes, it was there, but it doesn't even feel And it, no, it is progressive and it is there, but it's kind of like not even the most important part of a book anymore, if you know what I mean. Whereas before, that would be the main focus. Which brings me to when I read now male authors and they're not doing that kind of thing. I'm not saying not...
You're more conscious of it.
What's that?
You're more conscious.
I get bored if it's just loads of straight people in the book.
Me
too. Well, not bored, but it feels like there's something... It's sort of like, hey, there's something you could be exploring here or could be commenting on that you're not. And to bring it back to not all guys, you know, people like Alistair Reynolds and
Ian Banks,
you know, there are people who have done this better than other characters, you know, and I'm sure if I look at it, there's some other male authors. But then when I get to a male author who does the opposite and suddenly it's sexist and stuff, I'd just be like, oh, wow, this is like sexism and all that kind of stuff just feels so boringly male now. It's noticeable. For example, the R. Scott Bakker series and stuff. I thought, you know, halfway through these second lots of books, I was like, oh, maybe he's doing something interesting with gender and women representation in fantasy and high fantasy. And then just got to the next two books and I was just like, oof, oh no, it wasn't. This is actually worse than I thought it was going to be. And then we read, not Pavane, what was the other one that we read? Replay by Ken Grimwood. Yeah. It was so like entitled baby boomer, like awful, like male blahness. Yeah. I was just like, oh, this is just so male. This is just, and it kind of felt annoying that like what was now standing out was like, I mean, that's an older book, you know. Some of these books are older books.
Yeah, like also if you read now older books, you realize that even more how they were in their time, like Larry Niven.
Yeah, yeah. No, but then, for example, what was that book that we read? You didn't read it, but I talked to you about it. Anansi Boys by Neil Gaiman. I was just like, this is awful. Like this, and I even said at the time, I was just like, oh, this is awful. But so, like, for example, Peter Watts with Blindsight, he wrote that like you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever it was, or however long ago it was. But he doesn't do that just by, you know, just it's just not about that. If you know what I mean, it isn't. He doesn't write about relationships. He has main characters be female and. Even he does that thing in Blindsight where there's the character with like four, the Gang of Four or something like that, which is is a woman character. Was it a woman character?
Two women?
Yeah, it was a woman character with two women characters in there, a male, and then sort of like some other person who was just there as a...
Sometimes.
Like that. So that character could be doing it. And even he's writing about, and that's the kind of stuff like, hey, you're in a science fiction world, in the future, anything could be possible. Yeah. So why not have a character who is having a love affair with somebody else who's got four characters in and go, no, I don't want to talk to you and have a relationship with you, bring out the guy,
Michelle,
bring out Michelle, I want to talk to Michelle, I don't want to talk to James or whatever the other person was, you know.
Yes.
So like there are people, male authors, who are messing around in this area and exploring the area as well. But when I read a book which is just so straight, like even a, kind of a more modern book or more recent book, like, you know, Neil Gaiman, who is still writing, like he's not died and he's not like, you know, retired from writing, he's still writing these books, I'm just like, it's kind of like a missed opportunity. Stephen King writing his third ever novel as The Running Man, I'm like, yeah, okay, that was from like 1971. I'll give him a pass because, you know, everyone can improve. My own story has shown that. Like, if I now look back and read my own novels, I'd be like, wow, Bechdel test fail here.
Yeah, totally.
Again,
but it's like when you're writing a first novel.
Yes, you write.
You are
what you
writing
know.
From your point of because you're safe with this because you know what the way to look through your
that's
eyes.
That's the thing.
Right?
If you everybody's first novel, they pretty much write a novel about themselves and their ideas and their identities. You know, that's what everyone puts in the first novel. Yeah. So if
this
I,
is why
if,
oh, sorry. One of that I think that was very impressive about Ted Chiang.
Ted Chiang, what did you read from him?
Well, we read the what was it called?
Arrival.
It's not
Arrival.
The,
the story of your life.
Your life and then others. Where he's writing from a point of view of a woman.
Yeah.
Bringing up a child and giving birth and stuff. Mm. And I think at that point, said it when we did the podcast. I always think that is very brave and very impressive when you do that.
Yeah.
Because you put the compassion...
that's a short story. He didn't go into too much depth really. But I do understand. I do understand. Yeah, it's sort of like, possible. Well done, Admiral, yes. Go for it, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to hold myself up to the same standards as professional, paid, long, published authors. I'm self-published, and I haven't written a novel in 8 years or something like that. So if I was to write a new novel now, I'm sure... Well, actually, as I said before, the story that I'm doing now, which I'm writing a musical, and it's a science fiction musical, comedy musical set in space, I'm trying to write it as gender neutral as possible, because if I ever do get people to record this, I want to just be able to say to any singer, like, does your voice fit? Yes, no. Doesn't matter if male or female or whatever. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm writing, there are a few characters which I know what their gender would be for other reasons, you know, just for like another reason, because I know even in the future, in science fiction circles, someone who had toy dinosaurs is probably going to be male, or I'm playing off the, you know, boys like guns and cars and dinosaurs kind of thing. So there's pretty much only one character who I have fixed in my head as being male, but only because he's an old guy, you know. That's his perspective in this, and everybody else could be male or female. Some of the songs do reference penises and sex, but that's easy enough to swap that kind of stuff around, you know. So I quite like the idea of starting a story with like every character gender non-specific, until maybe it'll make a sense for it to go one way or the other. But actually, a science fiction story doesn't need to have gender one way or the other, so even my own storytelling can be improved. I will hold myself to the same standard as I'll hold
Isn't
other people.
Isn't that what they did with Hamilton?
What's
where
that?
Some people were then switched to male or female.
No. They say that's what they're going to do in the future. So far, because it's all a story of white people, and everyone is played by actors of color. So it's all black people, Hispanic people, and other things like that.
Perfect.
And there's only one white actor in the whole thing, or performing the whole thing, and it is the King of England, who is the person, you know, is the King of England is the white guy, and everyone else is people of color. And but that's going to be really tricky to do when schools start performing it, and maybe the schools don't have an entire cast worth of people of color, and so white people have to be involved. So to again make it inclusive, they're going to do gender flip the roles, so a woman can play you know, any character.
Hamilton.
Well, yeah, either the woman can play Hamilton, and then it wouldn't be the Schuyler sisters, they could have the Schuyler brothers, or just have the Schuyler sisters and just men are playing that part, you know?
Or just have Hamilton be...
But that's the point, is that, like, it's fine to open it up for schools to do anything, because, maybe you're going to have Hercules Mulligan be, you know, whatever. I don't know. It could be anyone. Most of these characters could be anyone. And that's actually, I think, the only failing of Hamilton, the musical. I've not seen it, of course. I've just listened to the album. Is that for it being so progressive in some ways with race and representation of race on stage, for, you know, of opportunities for black performers.
Yeah, it's not
and
that much
other things
gender.
Like that. What's that? Yeah, for gender, it's like literally one line where they say, hey, I'm going to get Thomas Jefferson to put women in the sequel. And I'm like, and then for the rest of the song, I was like, oh, that was it, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're going to say in the future, the sequel to this may have women in important positions, or otherwise they're just going to be, I mean, it's historical. So of course, back then the women didn't have a whole lot of input into it compared to the men. So it is understandable, but it does make me think, they could have just had just a few more main characters, just go, just have a woman playing this part. But again, steps at a time, one step at a time, I think, in that case. So,
well, I know a bit of opera kind of things on stage, and it's like you do have an unproportional amount of women who want to become singers, so you have loads and loads of female singers, and then
only a few parts of that.
And then on the opera stage, you have the demand. It's impressive for tenors and baritones and even basses. And like all the cast on stage on an opera will always be two or three women and maybe five and six or six or seven men.
Yes.
That is just how it developed. And
It's tricky.
But
again, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing, cool thing. Let's look at it this way. Let's do the natural experiment. In orchestras in Germany, they said from now on, every audition is going to be blind. So what we do is we put a screen up and the person comes in and this is their audition. The examiners are one side of the screen, they can't see the person, they sit down, they play some music, and that's it. And then they judge who gets into the audition, like who gets into the orchestra by doing that. you can't do that with singers, no. but you can do it with musicians. And it turns out when they did that, the representation of like all the new hires, it was like 50-50 split, because it turns out being male violinist or female doesn't affect it at all. No. With singers, it does, because of the voice thing as well, like that. But how about authors? Maybe from now on, what we need to do is I need to remove all gendered names from every book that I read.
Yeah.
And I need to, or I just need to be handed them and then say, like, which ones are my favourites? Are they male or female or whatever like that? And that actually happened in one of these latest books. There was a book came out by someone called M.R. Carey, and it's called The Girl with All the Gifts. And as I was reading it, I was about halfway through and I was like, I'm not sure. Is M.R. Carey, is that a guy? Or, you know, is that a male author or a female author? What is going on here? Is it a man or a woman? And I was like, And as I was reading it, I was like, I'm guessing a guy? And then I looked it up. Yeah, it's a guy, you know. But there's other times, like I say, I read a book by P.D. James, Children of Men, you know, that was made into the movie.
Yeah.
And I did that whole review, didn't know that P.D. James was a woman, but it had James in it. So it's like that, you know, James Tiptree Jr. kind of thing, where it's sort of like the name is just put in there to make me go, oh, is this going to be a man or a woman? And at that time, it's not that I thought it was a woman. It's not that I thought it was a man. I guess I just defaulted to saying he, maybe. I don't know. But so often I say now, the author does this. I don't want to say he does this or she does this. I always try and like remove that from them and just say, the author does this, or just say the whole name. Annalee Nevitz does this. You know, R. Scott Bakker does this, or the author does this. I don't like even say, when I'm talking about authors now, I don't like saying he or she.
Also often you can't pronounce their names.
Yes, exactly.
So you
that's
kind of avoid
too.
That. But also what always gets me so much when I'm reading a book and I read something and then I have a vision of this character in my head, I'm always or often so surprised by my own failure or like by how much I'm shaped by the society thinking in these categories. And of course, as a human being, your natural instinct is to put things in categories just to cope with things.
Again, we've got a lot of human baggage that comes along with all of this stuff, which is like we've got like a billion years of evolution to get to where we are now.
Yeah.
And it can change and it will change again if we all just try a little bit to put in the effort. And again, that's just to bring it round full circle. I think we should wrap it up because we've been talking an hour now.
That's a
but
good wrap
again,
up,
my full circle was, let's just try an experiment. One of the partners was like, let's just try it. 50% women authors, you know, plus or minus a few by, you know, rereads or trans authors, you know, which however you want to count all of this kind of stuff. But like, first of all, how will it affect me? Second of all, will anyone even notice? And guess what? Nobody noticed. Not a single bit of feedback to say, hey, you've been reading lots of women authors, or wow, it's really, you've really improved by the women authors or not women authors. Like, not a single comment. Nobody noticed. So it can only be like, worst thing is it can be utterly, utterly neutral. The best thing is I can do my tiniest, the littlest part I can do for to get a little bit more representation for this kind of thing. So
I like that.
Yeah, so that's it. And I thought it'd be fun just to throw this on you just to see if you noticed. You didn't notice. I mean, again, you're not a listener to my podcast. You just hear me record them and talk to me about this stuff as well. So I think that's it. Right.
350. That's
a lot. 350 episodes. And in January we might do a 10-year thing. I'm not sure what I do about 10 years of the podcast. Maybe I'll change the image because there's still a picture of me literally 10 years ago.
I like that image.
Yeah, it's a fun image, but maybe it could do with updating. It's really low resolution, and I kind of want to use it in different places. And it's it's like 600 or 400 pixels by 400 pixels or whatever the iTunes art size was back then. It's a slightly different size. All right, that's it. An hour talking about that kind of stuff. And again, I've gone into this. I bet so many books. People go, oh, he's always talking about gender stuff and non-gender specific pronouns. Yeah, it's just those are the books I'm reading. And now you know why I've talked about that stuff a lot of the time. I don't think anyone has complained, but sometimes I'm like, wow, I keep going on about these different subjects. It's like, those are just the subjects I'm reading and the authors that I'm reading and the things that come up.
These are the topics of the time.
Topics of the time, yeah. And again, like I say, I'm a trailing indicator of this because it was a few years ago when this kind of stuff happened politically within science fiction reading community, which I guess I'm part of. I don't really feel like I'm part of it, but you know, I do sometimes follow along with awards and that kind of stuff. So this is my belated call or notice that I did hear and did do my little part, but I just thought I'd just not talk about it. because it can be a bit like preachy, and otherwise I'm just like, nope, yeah. Don't need anything like that.
Oh, that's good.
Two years later. So what do you think? Should I keep doing it?
Yeah,
keep
I like
reading
it.
50%.
Why not?
Well, I thought there's other reading there's programs no, I do. Now I it can understand. Just be now it doesn't have to be like an effort. I think I'll just go, oh well, look, I've done that, and now it'll probably just happen naturally if it's just one thing that's a consideration. But hey, maybe there's other underrepresented things that in 2 years' time I'd be like to talk about. I can't think of any off the top of my head except, you know, authors in translation. Anyway, doesn't matter about that. Right, that's it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.